Good afternoon, Patrick. Did you have a good day? Was it a productive day? Was it memorable?
It was a good day. I won't say it was memorable, but it was a good day. So, how about you?
Yeah, I've been working on the computer most of the day. Well, no, I haven't been taking the dogs outside. I've been working on the computer all day. I had a scare with a hard drive that almost went bad while I was had a whole bunch of stuff on it that wasn't backed up. But I got recovered from that, and that just got me motivated to do some cleanup, some house cleaning on computers that I haven't done in a while. It's amazing what it'll do against you if you don't stay on top of it. Get too much of a dependency on stuff that you could lose. That's bad, especially when you get to have to do Medicare and Medicaid and doctors and stuff you're not familiar with. You know, stuff I've never done all my life, and now I'm having to learn the ropes.
That stuff there can be a real nightmare.
Well, it's been windy out there today. I thought the hurricane blew all my sticks out of my trees, but when I take the dogs outside and walk them around the yard, there's more sticks out there every time I go out. I thought the hurricane shook all the dead wood out of the trees, but it didn't happen.
It's been windy today.
With that big truck, do you feel the bursts of wind up against the side of it while you're driving?
I do, especially when it gusts real hard or stops. Then you feel both of those. If it's consistent, you can deal with it. But those start and stops, they'll get you.
That reminds me of being on a motorcycle and coming up past one of those, and you're leaning into it while you're passing it. And then as soon as you pass it, you better stop leaning into it or you're going to cut across in front of it.
That's like when another truck comes up beside you. You can feel it when they get close because you'll start pushing it the opposite side of whichever they are on.
It's amazing the little nuances you learn when it's really windy and gusty out there. I have seen videos of trucks crossing over bridges like that, and just all of a sudden they come up on two wheels. And some of them go back down on four, and some of them go over on the side.
You don't know how hard a gust you got hit with.
Well, you headed up the mountain now? I missed that. I think an APR station around here sent out a beacon and it covered you up. Say that again.
Has their meeting tonight, so I'm trying to make it to it. It's
going to be virtual or on site?
On site.
Oh, you hope you're not late. I guess you got plenty of time now, though, huh?
Didn't start till 7 o'clock, so I should be good.
Well, that's good. Tell Chad and them, if you see him, if he's there, I said hello. And if James is there, KK4, what's his call? I can't remember it.
Hello, James.
Yeah, is he a member of that club? He's right up in there and around that area. I would think he would be a member.
No, I don't think he is. I know he's a member of the Hendersonville Club, the 640 machine. Actually, in January, he'll be the president of the club.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, so wrong club. That's the same one Sid's a member of?
You are correct.
They have a pretty good club up there. Their call sign's only one letter different than ours, and they got a pretty good spot on Bear Walla Mountain for a long-range repeater. I struggle sometimes to hit it, but if I turn the power up, I can use it to get in.
I'm a member of that club also, so I try to make it to one or two of them every month, mix it up a little bit.
I'm not sure about how many people they got, but it must be pretty good when you hear them checking in. They have a lot of check-ins.
Pretty good size. I don't know how many members they got, but the rosters, I don't know, it's way long.
Are you a member of the Waynesville Club, the one that Harry, KC4EZN, is a member of?
I don't have anything to do with the Waynesville Club. That's a little too far in the opposite direction from me. That would be like me driving to Greenville to the Greenville Club, but in the other direction.
Okay. I know it's kind of a long drive when I go to their ham fest from here. I think it's a couple hours, or well, between an hour and 2 hours.
Probably a little over 2 hours, probably an hour or 210, 250, somewhere in that neighborhood. Because Waynesville for me is about an hour and 15 minutes, about the same as it does to drive to Greer for me. So I'm kind of right in the middle.
Well, you're as bad with radio club membership as I am with airplane club membership.
Participate and be a part of the club in whatever is going on. Like with this one, you know, some of it's, okay, I'm just paying my dues because I'm using a repeater or that kind of thing. You know, or trying to help out somewhere or something, you know, just trying to be a part of the group.
Yeah, I guess it's not quite as bad with the radio clubs. They haven't picked up on the fact that they could greatly increase the price. The airplane clubs have picked up on that fact, and they have done so.
Airplane clubs is, I think some of the clubs are not quite as old, the ages of the people. There might be a little bit younger ones in there.
Yeah, you see the younger guys come out every now and then, but there's by far the old-time builders that built with balsa wood and monocoat or silk span and dope or that kind of stuff. You see those guys, you see a lot more of them than you see of the younger guys. It's the same thing. I don't know what the younger guys are doing for hobbies these days, but it's definitely not airplanes and radios like it used to be.
So they're sitting on PCs playing games is what their hobbies are. And, hey, I wanted to let you know also, because I don't know if you've heard or not, but Shannon, KEM4EFT, up in Harrisville, she started up the 2-meter simplex net again on Tuesday night.
I heard that on one of Sid's nets that I checked into, and I thought it was going to be that night. So I went and got me a 10-element Yagi and put it on horizontal polarization and stuck it on TS2000. And I was on the wrong night, and the next night I couldn't make it there. So I knew they were doing it, and I wrote down the frequency somewhere. I don't know where it is. I put it in a notepad somewhere. I could probably find it. But I was on the wrong night. I was thinking it was like on a Monday night or something like that. And isn't it? It's on a Tuesday now, right?
Night at 8:30 for the FM portion, and 9 o'clock for the sideband portion.
Are they doing the horizontal polarization on both, or the FM is? Are they going vertical?
Vertical on FM, and we're trying to get everybody over on horizontal on sideband.
Yeah, sideband. Horizontal works a lot better on sideband. Plus, I can turn my Yagi so that it is parallel to the ceiling in my shack and just put it on a paint stick and push it all the way up against the ceiling. Because I don't have a 10-element two-meter beam for in the attic for that. I've got one for the repeater, but I don't have one that I can rotate around like that and try and hunt for people. So I just tried to put something together really quick, but I was all by myself because it was Monday night. I misunderstood what night it was.
I know you used to like to do that, so I figured I'd make sure you knew about it. This past Tuesday, we had a guy come in from Ohio, 300 miles away.
Did he tell anything about his equipment?
I could hear him, but he could not hear me. He could tell I was keying up, but that was it.
Oh, man, that'd be good to know what kind of equipment he was using. That had to be a beam on a big tower, a big beam on a big tower.
It was, but, I mean, he was getting in there pretty good. And so it's been interesting. There was, I think, 12, 15 of us there on the Tuesday night. So, you know, a good turnout for that.
W4DJW. There used to be a guy that lived south of, well, he lived right on Lake Robinson. His name was Ed. His call sign was K4KK. Really easy to remember. He was one of the handful of people in the United States that worked all states on VHF and UHF, 2 meters and 70 centimeters. Worked all states on 2 meters. worked all states on 70 centimeters. Can you imagine that? He did moon bounce and that kind of stuff. So he had arrays of Yagis. He had like four Yagis on a pole, and all of them in the same orientation, all of them phased together. And then he had multiples of those. So you can imagine the gain that he had if you add all of that up. Dual pairs of Yagis. And worked all states. It was pretty cool when he lived down here. He moved to Tennessee. I haven't heard from him since. K4KK.
Testament KO4HX to work all states on 2 meter and 440. That's working for it.
Well, he was really, really into it. He lived right up the hill from where when the Blue Ridge Radio Club was built. That was an airplane club. Airplane clubs usually call themselves radio clubs when they're really airplane clubs. WCRC is the same way. Western Carolina Radio Club is they just call themselves like Foothills Flyers, that one over there that you know about over there at Sloan's Airport. They got Flyer in their name. The other ones usually don't. But we were down there. There's a peninsula right down from his house. And I didn't know. I knew there was a ham radio operator that lived up there on that hill, but I didn't know it was it. I wasn't an amateur radio operator back then. And sometimes when I got to flying really high-speed racing planes, kind of get up to 140, 160 miles an hour, they make a lot of noise. They got tune pipe on the back, and it's kind of noisy. And every now and then, I believe he was pointing a beam at those airplanes and trying to over desensitize the front end because they go wild every now and then. And we never figured out what was causing that. But now that I know that he lives there, things start to make sense, or that he used to live there. And he lived there back when I was flying there too.
Well, I mean, I hate that people are that way, that they can't let people enjoy their hobby. But it's unfortunate.
Yeah, he never. I talked to him not directly about that, but I tell him every now and then when we were racing, having pylon races and stuff like that, that every now and then they just go crazy. We never could figure out what was going on. He'd say, "Oh yeah, uh huh." He didn't offer anything, and I didn't accuse him of anything.
Generally, those things have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah, it wouldn't have led to anything good. Anyway, I'm working on compiling some software. I had to do a rebuild on a laptop and making sure I got all the tools installed so the compiles go right. So I'm going to get back to it. Just heard you out there and thought I'd say hello. Hope you had a good day and hope you have a good rest of the week. There's only a day left after today. And then a good weekend. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
It was good talking to you, and I hope you have a good rest of your evening and a good day tomorrow also, and a good weekend. But I do appreciate you coming back to me. KO4HKX. I'll be mobile for a few more minutes.
KX, this is M4BUT.
Hey, how are you today?
I've just been busier like crazy lately, so I haven't really been on that much.
How are you on here much? Are you coming tonight?
I'm on my way there right now. I'm down here just about to get on the 14 from the 414.
Well, I'm almost out here back to Highway 25 off of 290, so as quick as I can switch vehicles and head that way, I'll be coming.
It's going to be at 7 o'clock, and I texted Jerry and asked if he needed me there a little bit early, and he was like, starts at 6, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm on my way.
At 6, I may not make it then.
Out because we'll definitely be there past 7.
It's harder for me to make it to something like that at 6 o'clock.
I was thinking today, I was supposed to go to a thing for my daughter's cheerleading, but they pushed that to 7:15, so I'm just heading up here.
Your daughter, I didn't realize you had a daughter.
Daughters, one that's 10 and the other one's 11.
Well, good for you.
Here. No, I just got blown past by a fire rescue vehicle that, like, the car in front of me moved over out of the way, and I was, like, just looking at the headlights of a fire rescue truck.
Y'all become part of the accident.
It's coming right at me, going towards something else, so I was able to dip out of the way really quick when I saw the car in front of me dip.
Your schooling going?
Getting close to the end of this semester, and then next semester I'm only going to be working on one class, so it's going to get a heck of a lot easier here for the spring semester, and then I'm taking the summer off so I can get a bunch of stuff done around the house and be able to help out with a bunch of other things going on around here.
I know you got that big paper you got to write.
Dumped it down to just one class for that entire semester, so that's all I got to focus on.
That's a good plan when you know you got to do that much work.
Spending a lot of time at the library, but it won't be as bad as doing 6 to 7 courses at a time like it was this semester.
But you'll have it all behind you when you're done. And hope you should be done here, another 3 weeks?
Yeah, for this semester, it's pretty much wrapping up right now with Thanksgiving coming up, where I got a couple things to do right after Thanksgiving, and then that's it.
Well, I hope everything goes smooth for you in that time.
Get that. How's the route going?
It's up and down, so hopefully things pick up quite a bit here after Thanksgiving, but the holidays always are a mess. They really are.
Little tools and stuff as Christmas presents?
A lot, yeah, some of that. And then you've got a lot of businesses that they've got money they have to spend at the end of the year, so it's, you know, either spend it or pay it to the government. Bill's working. We'll see if we can't get them done, but I hope so. Got a big scanner deal on the table. That one will be a nice one if I can get it.
Sure you'll get it, you too. You seem to be a pretty good guy, and I had to buy stuff from you if I had a shot.
Like that, but sometimes it's just a matter of with this one, if the powers that be will let them spend the money. Cutting out there, so I'm going to say 7-3 if you can still hear me. And hopefully I'll see you here in a little while. KO4HX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
Jumping in here to do the same thing, saying hello, and hopefully you're doing okay, and hoping you're having an early, you know, a great, you know, Thanksgiving.
Fortunately, I don't have any plans for Thanksgiving this year. Since pretty much all my family's passed away that had anything to do with Thanksgiving, just be me and the wife at the house.
Hate that they, you know, passed away like that. We said, but hopefully you enjoyed Thanksgiving as best as possible.
I will. I'll probably play Turkey Day radio.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do. That's why I'm asking right now, pretty much every day prior to the Thanksgiving Day, if my wife has all the grocery stuff that she's going to need, because I've done it before where I had to either go out on Thanksgiving or the night before at O-Dark 30 going, oh, I don't have this, and it's even happened a couple of days or a couple of, you know, hours or minutes before on Christmas Day, too.
I used to work in a grocery store when I was in high school. And that was always funny to watch. People running in at the last minute trying to grab that one little item that they needed.
Yep, I did the same thing during high school. I worked at Community Cash as one of the, you know, the bag boys, and then moved up the stock and then moved up to the meat department. And it was always very, very fun when the snowflakes started falling, because it was just a mad rush to the grocery store to get milk and eggs and bread.
Yeah, if you go to bread, they got to have that milk sandwich.
Yep, and then looks at it, if the power goes out, then they lose all that.
Not up around the house. You just set it out in the snow. Keeps it cold.
Yep, definitely so. Yeah, we used to have some fun times when it was out snowing like that, and we were out there doing bagging groceries. We'd do anything we could to stay warm and stuff like that.
Definitely a different time than it is now, for sure.
Yeah, I know you know where Bowling Springs is. To Sizemore, and you would give that man a dime and tell him to preach to somebody, and he would literally chase that person down, preaching to them, and pretty much wait by their car if they were going out to lunch, and then start preaching back to them when they were going back into the store.
He was dedicated for that dime then, wasn't he?
Was, and it was funny, because then literally he would just hound that person, and we just made sure at the end of the day that, you know, when it was, you know, dark and stuff like that, that they didn't get surprised by him still being out there, because, you know, that definitely tended to scare the girls when they were walking out to their car. You know, by themselves, we never pretty much let them do that anyway. We'd always, you know, escort them out or just kind of watch, make sure that everything's okay as they were going toward their car.
Yeah, we typically all got off at the same time, so we'd all walk out together, at least where I was at. But it wasn't a huge problem worrying about somebody messing with you back then. If it was more of a prank than anything.
This day and time frame, there's just crazy people out there just do it just to be strictly mean.
But Lloyd, I have arrived here where I'm going to switch vehicles, and I got to make it quick tonight, so I'm going to say 7-3. Good to talk to you, and hopefully hear you on down the log. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
All right, sir. Have a great day. It's KO4PXB.